Hey, welcome to the Total Bitcoin Podcast Show. My name is Kevan Davani, the Total Connector. I'm super excited to have Nicolas Dorier, coder at BTC Pay Server, open source project, as you guys know. It's a fantastic project, fantastic product they're developing with an incredible rate of speed. To make it short, I see the monetary evolution, the critical adoption rate, or mass adoption, I see that in the merchant adoption. When merchants, once merchants, you know, whatever obstacles there are, whatever learning curves there is, whatever educational challenges there are, eventually they will open up. They will open up exponentially and learn and educate themselves and hopefully get, you know, receive a much better support, help, guidance, and especially user experience, user interface, user friendliness, really break down things, the terminology, the operability, and everything else. So yeah, so I want to know, you know, how Nicolas Dorier stands all this, what's his position, what is his vision, what kind of possibilities are there, you know, to make it more easy, to make it facilitate the smooth transition, right, into a Bitcoin denominated circular, localized economies, at least as a, you know, as a transition to a alternative Bitcoin denominated infrastructure where customers can pay whatever by online Bitcoin online payment or Lightning. But, you know, it should be, you know, it should answer, it should resolve all the practical issues and questions there are, like immediacy, instantaneous privacy, anonymity. Hopefully we're going to get there. So yeah, without further ado, this is my talk with Nicolas Dorier. Yeah, really excited about this. Let me know your questions and please follow me. Give it a like, subscribe, please. Follow me on Twitter, would help me tremendously. Thank you so much for support and for listening. And here you go. Thank you.
Sorry for being late. I mean,
no problem. Welcome to the show.
For having forgotten.
I know. I can only imagine it must be a life of a coder. It must be pretty exhausting, right? So Nicolas Dorier, thank you so much for coming to my show. Really appreciate it. I've seen or listened to you to some of the interviews you gave. I think the last one. I think you were on the Steve Levera show. So look, Nicolas. I'm an educator. I see myself as an educator, podcaster, and I really want to break down things I know you're a coder, so I'm not a techie, I'm not a coder. So I want to really go down the rabbit hole of when it comes to, you know, practical questions. Like, first of all, can you briefly give a little bit of description about yourself? Like, what's your path to Bitcoin? How'd you land in BTC Pay Server as a coder? And, you know, what's your ethos, your vision? Thanks.
Yeah, so I started, I think 2014, it was a bit after MTGOX. I saw that MTGOX is gone, but I saw that Bitcoin was still surviving. So it was a bit intriguing to me because I thought that Bitcoin was a startup money. So I was thinking, if the startup is down, like, why is it still working? Why is it still working? And so that's all, like, by searching on this, I found out that it's really, there is really something. And on top of it, like, in France, I got lots of problems with banks as well. Where I got refused like 6 times in a row, and like when you can force them to take you when you get a number of rejection, because anyway, if they don't accept you, you cannot even pay your taxes because the tax people don't accept cash. So
the seigneurage.
So like you need a bank account. So like you can force them to take you, but if you force them, they are not very happy with you. So they provide you no service. Basically, you need to go to the branch every single time you want to do an operation, even if it's just seeing your balance, basically. So yeah, it was, I mean, like, yeah, it's, oh, I got caught, and I wanted to know more technically about it. There was not too much technical documentation at the time. So I did it by reading the source code of Bitcoin Core and Bitcoin J, and like doing my own library that is called nBitcoin. And after I did nBitcoin, basically like 1 or 2 years later, I started contributing a little bit to Bitcoin Core, not too much, but like it taught me a lot about Linux environment development, for example. Then there was this famous B2X attack on the network that comes on, and it's when I started BTC Pay basically. But like everything I built, I started building on Bitcoin basically, and it was nBitcoin, and everything that I'm building since I first started Bitcoin is always on top of what I'm doing. So like as time passed, there is a huge stack coming up, and the more time pass, the more user-oriented become what I'm doing, basically.
Let me ask you, because I'm curious, before this question goes under, I read an article just recently, I think it was by Vlad Kostea, that's his name, Vlad, it was a short article about time locks, and you were in 2015 involved in the development of the relative, it's called, I don't know what it is, but maybe you can explain.
So OpsCSV basically is, so I was not, I'm not the one that kind of invented it. It was, I think, Mark Friedenbach that developed it at the beginning. Then he did a pull request, and this pull request was not getting too much attention. But I was kind of motivated to work on, because like we needed it for Lightning. And there was a BTC Drac that kind of helped me like setting up my first development environment for Bitcoin. So for example, one of my first steps was compiling the Bitcoin code, source code. This step alone like took me one full day, because I didn't know anything about Linux or anything. So like it kind of helped me getting it started, and also like helped me to collaborate more effectively on open source project, because I didn't know how to make good requests. I didn't know how to rewrite history to make it clean, so that there is more chance to be merged. And basically, yeah, I was just working on this, like adding tests, rewriting the code, like finding some bugs, collaborating on the Bitcoin improvement proposal as well. But it was my first step basically where I started it.
So essentially it was sort of a smart contract on the Bitcoin protocol. Is that like a layman?
Well, when you are using Lightning Network, you're using smart contracts. Mm-hmm. We just don't call it like at the end of the day, just a contract that's self-enforced. So it's just a concept that was needed for Lightning to work. And so it was very important.
All right. Nicola, let's talk about BTC Pay Server. So can you give like a overview, like who uses BTC Pay Server? Who's the target? It's an open source project. I find it great what you guys are doing. I mean, within shortest time you've developed, I mean, amazing stuff. But can you give like a bigger picture? Like, what does it do? What are features, functions? What is the practical usage of BTC Pay Server?
So it started. So the end goal of this project basically is to get people running their own node. So we got this B2X attack by the that was going on, and even if Bitcoin network is decentralized by itself, the problem is that if there is not good tooling, or like tooling that are not too difficult technically to use, then people decide to rely on third-party services. And even if you have a decentralized network, if everybody is using the same service to access Bitcoin, like it doesn't matter like what the Bitcoin blockchain says. At the end of the day, there's this person you will rely to that will become the source of truth rather than the blockchain itself. I saw that coming on during B2X. For example, like BitPay that was telling their merchant that there was an upgrade to Bitcoin like basically misleading them to become the source of truth on the protocol, basically. So yeah, I think it was kind of dangerous situations. So when I did BTC Pay, my immediate goal. So I was quite fan of BitPay, basically. I was using them for a long time, and also to my customers and like people I was consulting with, I was advising them use BitPay. And when this happened, basically, like, if you go to them and they say, oh, BitPay will switch, they will say, okay, well, what should I do? I cannot do anything because anyway, I'm using their stuff. So my idea was, okay, I will develop open source solution that is replicating exactly their API so that you can switch from BitPay to my solution without the need of changing anything of your code. Basically, you just point to a different server and just work. And it's how it started, basically. So it was more oriented for merchant because it's more merchant that was using BitPay. But at the end of the day, the end goal is always like to get people running nodes and to decrease this kind of attack vector on the network.
Right. You see, I consider myself as the average user, maybe a noob with a little bit more experience. I had once a Casa 2. Hardware, you know, I had it up and running. It took me a few days, and then I turned it because I saw myself, you know, I need a little bit more features and functions. So I turned it by buying, the premium software of my node and turned it into a full node, right? So the only button that is not active on this dashboard of my node is the BTC Pay server because I don't need it. But, since I talked to my girlfriend, she has a business, you know, she has a company, she works, you know, literally every day. She has no time for, you know, for really going deep down the rabbit hole or struggling with the technical issues. And it took me more than a week until, you know, a lot of people helped me and I had to, you know, call the router provider. I'm just saying, you know, what I'm trying to do also with this podcast is like, to translate this knowledge for the average user, whether it be users or customers or merchants, yeah, for example, so, such as my girlfriend, you know?
Yeah. So basically, yeah, it's when you are using Bitcoin in any way, you need to learn some things. Like you cannot just keep your banking mindset and just say, okay, it should work like a bank. It cannot, like whatever we do technically, it's impossible that we make it work like a bank. Like it's impossible. So it means that people need, there is this learning curve to engage. And the only way for them to engage this learning curve is if they have somebody that can teach them that they know and that they trust, or if they really need it because they have no other way. So in BTC Pay server, basically when you install BTC Pay server, you can decide to share your instance with somebody. So like, you don't have to be the only merchant on your BTC Pay server. Like you can very well host a BTC Pay server and say to your friend and family, okay, if you need somewhere where to get a checkout page for your server for your store or whatever, you can just use my instance of BTC Pay server, and then I can guide you through and like answer your questions and like doing this kind of things for you. So even if like it doesn't reach the stage where even my grandmother like run a full node, I won't at least reach the stage where there is not a few actors in the community that have like 90% of the users that just blindly follow them. So anything that even you know if it go a little bit on the other side, it's still okay. So yeah.
What are the predominant questions when you? Or, you know, what kind of feedback or questions do you get from merchants? Because I'm going to tell you what my girlfriend, she said, you know, I have no problem, you know, but she would love to offer an alternative, you know, opt-in Bitcoin in payment infrastructure to her customers and give her even whatever, a couple of percentage of discount. But she said it's really important for her accounting system. I don't know what you would call it, accounting cashier system. You know, the fiat because of accounting and tax reasons. So it needs to be, converted instantaneously into fiat. What's your approach to that? So,
So we have solutions to convert instantly in fiat, but it's still kind of experimental. It's called the BTC transmuter. And the idea is that when you receive money on your wallet, the wallet immediately sell some stock of your Bitcoin on an exchange immediately and then send to this exchange. So you can do this right now. It rely on the BTC transmuter, but it's still like in development. Like if people are interested, they can come to the channel, but it's still, UX should be better and more feedback and testing should come. About accounting, like in BTC Pay, one thing I was working on quite a while ago was like good reporting. So like you can export all your invoices in like CSV file and do any kind of operation you need. But there is so many different regulation around the world, so many different jurisdictions around the world, that at the end of the day, the person who has the knowledge of how to report that properly to the tax office is the person concerned, the business owner concerned. So like the only thing that we can do as far as we are concerned is to properly show what is the state of their invoices, what is the state of their wallet, what kind of transaction has been done, and like allow them to export this kind of data. And then after it's their job basically to comply with the local law and like do the proper reporting as they need to. It's like an accountant issue basically.
Right. You see, I mean, I suggested, I wrote an article. I said, it would be great if we had sort of a guidance team or support team, and who should be, I think, totally fairly compensated for this kind of service, because that's going to be like sort of a direct, would it be, face to face, personal or online via Zoom or whatever, but sort of a guidance is really urgently necessary. So
it's called a tax accountant basically.
Right.
Their job.
Yeah. But the thing is, there's really hardly a tax expert or tax advisor, for example, in Austria, who is knowledgeable, who really understands, the subject matter. So you need to find one.
So I think so this is a problem. This comes with some uncertainty, like for the business owner, but I'm not a tax accountant, but at the end of the day, if the tax people like see that you are taking effort to try to report and open your data as much as possible for them to understand if you pay too much too much, they won't tell you, but too little, then there is no reason why they will punish you for this. At the end of the day, it's true that it demands like some kind of risk-taking and some kind of initiative from the business owner. But like in general, if you're a business owner, you are kind of used to that to a certain extent.
Right. So when merchants have questions, can I ask you, like, demographically, where are most of the merchants that use BTP Server as a alternative transactional infrastructure?
That's a good question. I have no idea, because we have no way of knowing who run BTC Pay Server. So like we have this chat room that is, well, like I don't know, 1,000, 2,000 people there asking questions here and there, but at the end of the day, like I don't really know. We have a list somewhere, like we have the BTCPay directory.org. I think directory.btcpayserver.org, I think, where we list stores that want to be listed as users of BTCPay, so we can take a look there. But like there is many more, and like we don't know who exactly.
Okay, so I assume all or most of these merchants who use BTP Server, would you consider them more sort of intermediate or experts? They already have, their full node running. They know how the stuff works. They're a little more above average.
Yes and no. So some of them are very beginner, but that they know everybody can learn on the process. But one thing to note is that like the alternative is basically centralized payment processor, right? And centralized payment processor, why they make this chat conversion a little bit simpler in the from accounting perspective, there is other kind of headache that come that might be even worse than this technical barrier. And this kind of problem is what happened is like a customer is paying you with some coin that the centralized exchange say, oh, it's suspicious, then confiscate the coin. Then as a merchant, you are in the middle, basically. Like, you got your customer that paid you, you didn't get the money, but the customer is asking you a refund. But no refund can be made because of regulation. The intermediary cannot send you back the money until this customer make KYC. And depending on the customer situation, then basically it's the merchant that will have to foot the bill, basically.
So are you saying that CoinJoint, like, are you talking like about also like not really like suspicious, but also like CoinJoint, like coin mixed Bitcoins?
Yeah, and like really, we don't really know like what can flag a coin as suspicious. There is no way of knowing. So like it's really a gamble, you know, like maybe it's a coin that come from a coin join. Maybe there has been a coin join like 3 steps ago before the person send it to a merchant. So even if the person didn't use the mixer, the fact that he received money from somebody that used the mixer might taint his coin. So like this become more and more like restrictive. And at the end of the day, the people that bear these costs is a merchant, because you need to answer to the customer, you need to debug the situation with BitPay. And so even if by using BTCPay there is some kind of technical step, there is some kind of discovery as well with your local jurisdiction and how everything works, at the end of the day you receive the money, and like if the customer asks you a refund, you can do the refund. So it's as a business owner, I think I prefer dealing with a technical problem than dealing with a compliance issue, because the problem with compliance is that there is nothing you can do. Like, it's out of your hand. At least technical problem, you can come to the chat, ask people, and even if it takes you time, eventually you will get your money. So, yeah.
Right.
It's basically what is about Bitcoin, you know, like Bitcoin is self-sovereignty, and it means exactly that the problem, you always have the power to fix the problem by yourself. You don't have to rely on somebody else. And I think it's very important even for business owner, because like I said, like if the BitPay confiscates the money of your customer, like you cannot do anything.
Mm-hmm. Right. Could you elaborate a little bit on the, what is it called? P2EP, pay to endpoint or some, a little bit?
Yeah. So pay to endpoint is a new feature for merchants that allow them to mix their coin with the one of their customer. So basically when a customer is trying to pay, normally he's taking his coins, putting them into a transaction, signs the transaction, and broadcast to the network. And like Spice and a blockchain analysis company, when they see this, they say, okay, it's one transaction, one person sent to another person, and they say, okay, it's all those coins that were signed belong to the same person. And the fact that PayJoin exists, even if nobody uses it, like it put a doubt on it. So basically what happened with PayJoin, when a customer is paying, is completely hidden in the UX, but when the customer paying is like making a transaction as he was paying normally, then send this transaction to the merchant. The merchant had his own input inside the transaction and send it back to sign to the sender. So basically like in one payment, you have like a CoinJoin happening. But the interesting thing is that on the network, this does not appear as a coin join. So like it means that any normal transaction become a suspicious coin join, basically.
Right.
So the only way to fight against this kind of tainting company is basically to include lots of doubts on their analysis. Mm-hmm. Like they cannot rely on lots of things. Because like even if they try to rely on it and try to defend it in front of a judge, at the end of the day, like if you say okay, you took this assumption, but this assumption can be broken by somebody that know, then whatever their conclusion, it won't hold up. So
is that only possible with a lightning transaction, or is that also like
it's a Bitcoin transaction.
Okay, just a normal Bitcoin transaction. Like what would be the difference if I paid as a customer directly out of my Samurai Whirlpool?
So it's the same problem basically. If you pay with any wallets that doesn't support PayJoin, basically what will happen is the chain analysis company, when they see the transaction, so there is two kind of ways. So there is one way where sometimes the analysis company see that the transaction is a coin join. So this is bad because it means that your coin can get freezed. And there is a case where for example, if you send from Wasabi wallets, you can have this kind of problem if you don't pay attention, because like the coin can directly through a coin join of Wasabi. So this is typically a problem. Like Samurai Wallet, I don't use them that much, but for as I understand, they have like a kind of ricochet kind of thing. If I understand, it's like,
Kahoot or ricochet. Between. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, I'm not even familiar with all those different terminologies. There is Stonewall 2X, Kahoot, and Ricochet, but I don't know the differences. So maybe you could elaborate on those.
Yeah. So basically, Ricochet, like there is a, I think there is, they make several steps between the payer and the payee, so it's improving a little bit. I don't know about their Stonewall protocol. I'm not looking too much into it. My main complaint about Wasabi, about Samurai Wallet, is that if Samurai Wallet is obliged by governments or basically turn malicious, they can spy on everybody that use them. So when you use Samurai Wallet, they know your address. Samurai Wallet server know your address. There is a way to prevent this, but by default, when you do this, they know all your address. And so you rely on them on being honest. And I think it's a bad idea. Wasabi Wallet, on contrary, don't have this problem typically.
Even if I use my own, Dojo node, my own node and via Tor.
If you use your own Dojo node, it's fine.
Because it's connected to Dojo, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And but Wasabi, like by default, basically you send nothing to their server.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I can only talk about stuff that I use myself. Like if I get my, for example, just, for the first case, help my girlfriend set up this Casa 2 hardware, which she hasn't, put into operation yet. So, and I turn it into a MyNode with that BTC pay server button app, which I could activate. Let's say I can, I can help her set it all up and running. Could she or could we contact you guys and you could like guide her through, additional processes like technical issues?
We have this chat, like chat.btcpayserver.org, where all the communities are hanging around. We have also like tons of video on YouTube, on our YouTube channel. So like most of the problems she might face, like, and we have a very good documentation. So any problem she will face, like she will find the questions, the reply to her question. After like one thing that you can do, like if you are more motivated than her, for example, for learning about Bitcoin, and you are, I guess, with this podcast, is simply like taking care of it for her. Like you can negotiate something, I don't know, a good restaurant every month or something like this. But like the idea is that even if she don't know how to deal with it, if you know how to do it, then you can do it for her.
Yeah.
And it's still better than her just relying on like some party on which she has no leverage.
Right. Well, fascinating. So, Nicole, what about the interoperability? I mean, what kind of wallets can I connect through or via BTP pay server? I mean, Because I'm really looking forward for the strike thing that's allegedly going to come to European Union and Europe in the near future, the Rockstar developer told me. So, you know, for the customers would be great.
So basically, the, what we support in BTC Pay is we have hardware-led support. So basically, like we support a bunch of main like Trezor, Ledger, like all the main one, you know, like Bitbox, Coldcore, like all the main one, we support them. The process is really, we have a local app that you need to run though on your computer, but like you run this app, you go on your BTC Pay instance, you say, okay, I want to pair my store with a hardware wallet, you plug your wallet, you confirm on your wallet, and that's done basically. Then directly from the BTC Pay server website, you can sign your transaction, broadcast them. And it's important also, you don't have to rely on the server of the hardware wallet company. So even if the hardware company go down, or even if they are being spied by the NSA or whatever, like they cannot get any data of you because it's always passing by your own node on server. So yeah, you can use this or we also have like hot wallet support. So you can just use BTC, like if you don't have lots of stock, you know, like if you don't keep lots of money on the server, you can just say, okay, I will keep it on a hot wallet on the server. For example, if you want PayJoin, you need this, you need a hot wallet.
Okay. Which kind of what wallets? Or can you talk about like the Lightning wallets? What kind of Lightning wallets are supported and interoperable?
I say hot wallets.
Okay.
Basically... BTC Pay itself is a wallet, basically.
Right.
BTC Pay itself is a wallet. So you can use whatever you want. There is also, like, if you use Wasabi wallet, there is a way to export the data that you need to enter to receive your money directly on your Wasabi wallet. Like, it's kind of very standardized stuff. So, like, I think the sky is the limit here.
How would you pitch BTC Pay server to the merchants? How would you pitch it? I mean, are the advantages? I mean, features.
I got the opportunity not long time ago. Like where it was Pine 64. They are a maker of like Rock 64 devices or stuff like this. And basically, initially, they wanted to go to BitPay, and the community raised a bit against it. So they backed up their plan, and I contacted them to say, oh, if you want, you can try BTC Pay, and I can help you setting it up and everything, because it's a very great company. I'm using their device. I love what they do. So if I have to spend time to help them, I will do it. And basically, the way I try to sell them, so their main problem, as you said, is always fiat. You know, how do we get the fiat in our account? So we said what I told you, like we have this BTC transmitter things. There is some limitation, like one of the limitations, but you also have it with a centralized payment processor, is that when you receive the money, the USD is on your exchange account, not on your bank account. So you need to withdraw them. You know, you have this kind of problem coming up. But I think the main points that sell them a lot is it will run on your own, infrastructure. So for Pine 64, it's very important because basically it can run on their small device that they make. It's kind of a Raspberry Pi device. And it BTC Pay work great on this. So like it's a great way for them to use it. The nice thing is, I think the main point I always tell them is that, okay, if you use BitPay, of course it will be simpler to get the fiat if it works. So depending on your jurisdiction, it's maybe not even possible, you know, like they don't serve everywhere in the world. If you are in the US, it's a lot, but if you are, I don't know, in whatever else country, then that might not work. And I say, okay, what happened? And it happened often, like what happened if the customer sends you the money, BitPay find it suspicious, they freeze the money, and your customer don't have your product, you don't have the money, and BitPay is on the middle. What do you do? And when it happened, like you feel like completely powerless. There is nothing you can do. You won't like hire a lawyer to get your money to BitPay, because anyway, it's like for $50. So what are you going to do? So I think it's a very big point for them. Like, by using BTC Pay, you know that nobody is taking your money. Like, it goes to your pocket and then you go to the exchange. So it's less support for them. Actually, it's less support to host their own than to use a centralized service. So I think it's a big selling point.
What about Lightning transactions, Lightning payments? How do you integrate that with BTC Pay?
So Lightning Network, we also integrate it. So Lightning Network works great. You can just accept payment with Lightning, but for new merchants, I don't advise it immediately, because except if you are in the Bitcoin community, you know what it is, then there is no problem. But like, if you are a merchant, then you need to, it's like Bitcoin, you know, where you cannot go from fiat to Bitcoin without expecting some kind of learning curve. And those merchants that are interested in coming into Bitcoin, they still not have passed the first learning curve to learn about Bitcoin. So until they learned about Bitcoin, it's useless to talk to them about Lightning Network, because like, it's too much information at once.
And obstacles. And are there too many obstacles? Or?
Yeah. It's not obstacle, but it's just like, a person can learn new stuff like at a certain rate, and you should not try to push too much information at once, or else they will become like frozen and not take any step. So like, that's why for new merchants, like, I wait that they know about what is Bitcoin, that they're comfortable about receiving Bitcoin, and then they can accept Lightning Network and like learn about Lightning Network. But without them understanding this first step, like, it's useless to start talking about Lightning Network. They need to know about Bitcoin before Lightning Network. And I know that some people are expecting that in the future you can use Lightning Network without knowing about Bitcoin. I think it's a bit hopeful. I'm not too much. I don't really much agree with it. But at the end of the day, I think that Bitcoin knowledge will become more spread out in society. You know, like, kids that are right now 11 years old are born with Bitcoin, basically. So I don't expect, you know, this high learning curve to stay for long. So you have two ways. You have like products that become less hackish, that are easier to use, and there is like people that become more educated with time. So eventually it would come, but people need to learn first. And I think with Lightning especially, I think we are at this point where the technology evolves faster than people can follow. So even me, sometimes like, there is new stuff with Lightning, I have no clue what it is.
Really? Do you have the impression it's like evolving, developing so fast? I mean, beyond expectation?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, even me, like, what they are doing with Lightning, I'm not following anymore. So like, as far as I'm concerned with Lightning, I can connect to a peer, open a channel and send money and receive money. That's all I know. And like, I know that if you know about Lightning, you can do lots of different stuff, like message or like WebLN or whatever, lots of different things. But at the end of the day, like, for me, it's going too fast. I just don't follow. I think we are at this stage where real people need to use it, and there is not too much to improve to the technology until we get more people knowing about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm totally with you on that. You see, I mean, it's about the satisfaction of the needs, of the real needs of the merchant and the customer. So what the merchant wants, especially in my girlfriend's case, she has a shop. I mean, she has a grow shop. It's, everything is legal. It's just, you know, but the customers, they usually pay in cash. So can we talk a little bit about privacy and anonymity? How would you explain that to the merchant and the customer? Like, the payment that the customer would do, whatever, let's just say in a normal Bitcoin online transaction, is that like, compared to a cash, to a fiat cash payment,
so
how would you?
Is it a retail shop, or what do they do? They send the cash by mail?
No. Just, you know, in person, but they, you know, they pay in cash, like in paper fiat cash. But what would be the equivalent? So what, you know, like.
Yeah. So, I think that cash for person to person local exchanges, I think it will stay like way far ahead of any technology that we can throw at it. Like, I think even like centralized payment technology are not as user-friendly as cash. Like, of course, if you are a merchant, you will say, okay, yeah, it's more easy for me to accept a payment from somebody that used like a, you know, tap payments. But like as a user, like you need to set up this tap, you know, this tap payment. And like, for example, if you're a tourist, you cannot even open an account to get this kind of card. So, for example, you got the story, I don't remember the link, but it was one guy that was going to China, Shenzhen, and basically just wanted to buy something at Starbucks or something like this. And they will not accept cash, but he had no other way to pay because he's a tourist. So like, he don't have phone, he don't have like tap, he don't have any other way. So the only way he could find is to convince another customer to take his cash, then they will pay with their card. But like, maybe, I don't know, maybe this is money laundering for the government, you know, like, well, he's a money transmitter, we don't know.
Right.
So, and like, I think that
coffee is a drug, yeah.
Yeah. It is a drug. But yeah, it's like, for, I understand that merchant, this type of payment is easier, but like for the user, like it's not easier. Like, okay, if the user managed to set it up and took the time and like he's living locally, you know, and okay, maybe, but it's not always the case. So I think cash, like, you know, it just works. No need of battery, no need of external server.
And you have the full privacy, or actually anonymity. That's the issue that, you know, customers, they just want to pay cash, most of them, you know. So how do you, I mean, I'm sure the, do you think we're close to that? I mean, are we going to have a sort of a, whatever that is, a lightning payment that is fully
lightning payment might have a chance. So the main use case I can see on lightning payment becoming better than tap payments is what I just said. Like, there's lots of people that cannot use tap payment for lots of reasons. So like, they are tourists, they don't have access to banking because of whatnot. You know, like I'm living in Japan, like opening a bank account was very complicated. You need to check lots of boxes to open a bank account. If you don't have job, you don't have bank account basically. So how do you live in this case? So I think that in those situations, like for example, touristic area where you have lots of, you know, foreigners that are coming, they don't have tap payment and you want a fast way, like tap payments to pay, then I think lightning payment can play a role. But I still think that cash is here to stay for long because it's so easy to use. But on the other hand, you know, all the government is like trying to kill cash.
Yeah. What if they ban, with a good excuse, whatever, virus stuff. Yeah. So,
and if they ban it, basically Bitcoin becomes the most easiest things to use for any people that was using cash before. So
exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
As so we say, it's good for Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm. You know what we want to do? I mean, you're totally right. I'm totally on. You know, we're on the same page. I mean, when it comes to education, learning curve, we have a long way to go. But still, what we want to do also, maybe under the sort of guidance of Bitcoin Austria, and it's a nonprofit organization, so we want to do sort of general educational information workshops or events, and you know, just explain them the fundamentals, you know, of money and you know the technical possibilities and a little bit Austrian economics maybe, and you know, give people the chance at least to dive into that rabbit hole, but also take the initiative and start, you know, it doesn't have to be a full node, but at least start, you know, operating a hardware wallet or, you know, a semi-custodial or non-custodial Lightning wallet. And then go fully to a full node sometime, and then use it, you know, in interaction with the merchants. So it's a gradual process, I know, but this is why I wanted to talk to you. Like, what would be, you know, alternatives or opportunities or potential for cooperation with people who use BTC Pay Server, who are experienced, who are maybe team members of your BTC Pay Server team, so we can somehow bring in a little bit more structure, like support structure, into this whole thing?
Well, for the really new people coming in the space, I think that, as you said, like BTC Pay Server is still like too far ahead of the curve. Like they still need first, to understand how to use Bitcoin, like how to use a hardware wallet, how to use an exchange, how to buy from merchants. So there is lots of merchants accepting Bitcoin. Like it's easier to use Bitcoin than to use credit card in a lots of place. So I'm living in Japan. I got a shitty debit card and I cannot get the credit card for like 4 years because I don't check some cases that you don't even know. So basically, like when I'm using my card, it's often rejected. So like I just pay in Bitcoin, and like I think it's way easier than for online payment. I think Bitcoin is the easiest thing ever. Like way easier than PayPal, way easier than credit card.
Is it instantaneous? Is it instantaneous, Nicola? When you do a normal online transaction, like does the merchant wait for confirmation? How's the process?
So most of the time it's like online shop. So online shop don't really care about if the transaction takes too long. If it takes like 1 or 2 days and it doesn't confirm, like maybe they might send a message to the customer. If it's small amount, most of the time they will say, okay, I take the risk if something bad happened. Even with credit card, it happened, you have like chargeback. And if you are a merchant, like even if a transaction is stuck, you have way to unstuck it with Bitcoin. Like for example, by paying more fees, you send to yourself by paying more fees. So you increase the chance of the whole chain of being confirmed. So like there is not too much problem about this. For a retail commerce, like when you pay in Bitcoin, like same thing, they won't ask the customer to, if you order a beer, they won't ask to the customer to wait for a confirmation before delivering the beer. You have some kind of risk that you are willing to take. When you're a business owner, you take risk, So it's not a big deal. Like Lightning is a bit better in this sense because Lightning network is like instantaneous and it cannot be reverted. But at this stage, it's still like very small, small community. So.
But in Japan, it seems to be the norm. I mean, compared to other countries, like more acceptable.
Japan was very promising, but like the regulation had gone crazy basically. If you save some of your Bitcoin there, that's why on my side, I only buy, I never sell. But like if you sell your Bitcoin, for calculating the profit on which you're taxed, basically they need to know all your holdings from the beginning of time of Bitcoin. So like even if somebody like send you a donation for one coffee on your website, then you need to declare that and like calculate the average, how do they call that? Basically, the average price of your holding when you bought and remove when you sell. Basically, it's very difficult calculation. There is way anybody know to do this.
Unbelievable.
And like it happened even if you go from crypto to crypto. So like if you sell Bitcoin to take Litecoin, for example, it's a taxable event. You need to say, okay, I sell Bitcoin, I pay my taxes, then I buy Litecoin. So like at the end of the day, like people don't bother anymore. Like they just, on my side, I just buy. I don't sell. And one day, if regulation become better, maybe I will sell. But until it doesn't, it's not simple and they don't require me to tell when exactly I got the money of every coffee donation I got since the beginning of time of Bitcoin, then I will not sell anything.
Yeah, right. So Nico, it was a great talk. I really enjoyed that talk. So do you have any a roadmap? Is there a roadmap for BTC? So do you have like a vision? Where do you see Bitcoin going in the next, until the next halving?
I don't see that far. So in general, like we don't plan too much ahead, maybe maximum 1-2 months ahead, but like, you know, it's pretty much day by day. Like this day I was being focused at improving the privacy of the wallet of BTC server. Mm-hmm. So basically I in the next version of BTC server, there will be a fingerprint randomization. So when you do a transaction, Chennai's company can know which wallet it comes from because there is some particularity inside the transaction that give this information away. And I think the best idea to prevent this type of stuff is to randomize this kind of this kind of data. So next release of BTC Pay, you will have like lots of privacy improvements. There will be the, so for those that follow the pay join proposal I made, like there is new feature I added and that I implemented in the new one. What else? I think soon there will be RBF support inside the BTC Pay wallet. So you
what
can
is that?
The fees easily.
What is RBF?
RBF. So what? RBF is like, imagine you send a transaction and this transaction is stuck because it doesn't get confirmed. You can say, okay, I pay a little bit more of fees mm-hmm. to make it quicker. So like basically you can fix the situation. As a sender, you can fix the situation. There is also the concept that we are developing. It will take some time. It's called the pool payments. Mm-hmm. So take an example. If you used already like some website, like freelance websites, the UX is very great. Basically, as a boss, you go on this website, you put your debit card number or your credit card number, and you say, okay, I employ this person, and this person can pool the money no more than 1,000 per week, for example, 1,000 USD per week. And basically, the freelance does his work, and when the freelance does his work and reports his time, basically, it pulls the money directly to him. So this kind of concept, I think, is missing with Bitcoin. So I will add it. So the idea is really the same. Like, you can say, tell to somebody, okay, you can pull the money whenever you want from this pull payment request, and you know, and you know, put your wallet or whatever on which. Or you want to receive it. So we will add this, and this will also nicely match with the concept of merchant refunds. So right now, when merchants want to refund, there is a four-step process. Basically, the customers say, oh, I want a refund. The merchants say, okay, I will do the refund. Can you give me your address? How do you want to get refunds? Then the customers send back the address. Then the merchant send back, oh, it will be at this price. Is it okay? So like there is lots of back and forth between the merchant and the customer. And with the concept of refund in BTC Pay server, and it relies on this concept of payment. The idea is that the customer say, I want a refund. The merchant say, okay. And he will just share a link with his customer and say, okay, go to this link, and the customer can directly go and say, okay, I want to take this money, here my address, and say, okay, I do it. I ask a refund now. And then the merchant later, maybe at the end of the day, or maybe automatically, he will review all the refund that he own and then validate them and send everything. And it's a bit more advanced, but like for merchant that also accept pay join, we will bundle those refunds inside the PayJoin transaction. So like if another customer pay you, then the merchant can bundle his payments in the same transaction. So basically this transaction become a three person or more coin join in the making. Mm. So like it's very good from privacy wise. And it's also very good for the merchants because it saves fees. Like when you bundle lots of transaction in a single transaction, lots of send in a single transaction, you save lots of fees. So yeah, it will be, you know, this kind of puzzle is coming together, but we need to find the right user interface to communicate that to the users. And there will be also a new notification system as well, like where, you know, you open your BTC Pay server, you have like Twitter or Facebook, like, you know, like you have three notifications, you receive money, this kind of notification.
That's awesome.
Yes.
So that these are all going to be implemented in the new future, or?
Yes. So my hope, I would say it's always in 2 weeks, but my hope, hopefully in 1 or 2 months, maybe. So it's in the short term, it's what we are focusing on.
This is awesome. So, Nicole, see, this is my position. I think one of the essential keys to monetary evolution or Bitcoin's adoption or critical adoption rate are the merchants. I think the merchants are the key. And let's just hypothesize, let's just say a critical number of merchants, they get it. Let's say they really learn, educate themselves, you know, or we help them or whatever, and they get, you know, their full infrastructure as an alternative payment option, you know, for their customers, you know, by giving them even, you know, incentive, discount, whatever, in order to pay, you know, whatever, online, Lightning. But could you see that? I mean, do you see that kind of future where a critical number of merchants adopt Bitcoin by really integrating everything? You know, they figure out something, you know, with their accounting system, their tax situation. Do you see like this accelerating this process of critical adoption?
Well, I think I don't know, because on my side, most of the thing I want to buy, I can buy it on Bitcoin. So like, for example, if you use Amazon, like you can buy gift card quite easily using Bitcoin. So like, if you can buy with Amazon with Bitcoin, like what do you need more? Like you can just live from Bitcoin. I think maybe one way for merchant to solve the situation tax wise, and maybe it's a thing that we might think with BTC Pay in the future, but like we're not sure how yet, is the concept of gift card. So imagine you're a merchant. You can say, okay, I'm a merchant, I'm doing gift card. And then somebody is selling it in Bitcoin. So like, for accounting wise, it's very well regulated. They know how to do, but like by making gift card, they basically outsource those kind of problems to other peoples that might live in other jurisdiction. So it's, I think it might be interesting development. Maybe not for tomorrow, but things to think about.
Right. So, Nicola, do you see any other final thoughts or vision or I don't know? You want to direct your my listeners to any resources that are important to study, watch, listen to, whatever.
Well, like what else? I think that pass in top of my mind, like if you have time to read books, I advise you to read the Sovereign Individual. I think that will motivate you a little bit. Don't try to push too hard Bitcoin to people that are either not interested or not, you know, there is some people that you understand that they don't get it. So those people, you should not try too much. Normally people who get it will try to catch the information you know, as much as they can by themselves. And it's better, I think, to let them come than chasing them. At least that was my experience. So with your podcast, at least you can, like, you know, people that got interested will come to you, and it's quite good, I think.
Awesome. So people can find you on Twitter and BTC Pay Server. You're Nicola under Nicola Dorier and BTC Pay Server. And what's the BTC Pay Merchant Association? What is that specifically?
I mean, I don't really know, actually. So it's not managed by us. I don't really know. I guess it's like lots of BTC Pay merchants that are coming together, but I don't really know what they're doing. So
I'm really fascinated by you know, this open source projects you guys are working on. So much commitment and work and ethos, you know, pouring into this project is really, really awesome. I mean, the speed of development is amazing.
Like we got also lots of support, like from Square Crypto, BTSC, Digilab, Async, Lunanode, Wallet of Satoshi. So like there is lots of people like sending us, we also have new people to announce soon. I won't tell you now which one now, but we are lucky to be one of these few open source projects that get some funding. And so some people. So on my side, I'm happy because DigiLab let me work on BTC Pay, you know, as an employee. So I don't have, I never had any problem with money. But like for other contributors, that was not the case. And now basically they can live full time working on BTC Pay thanks to this money. So it's why actually it's accelerating. And I hope I'm not too much a bottleneck for others because I need to review pull requests. But yeah, it's accelerating.
Right. Really enjoyed our talk, Nicola. Hope we can repeat this, maybe even in the framework of a panel discussion. That would be awesome. And yeah, thanks so much for your time, and talk to you soon. All right, take good care. Bye, Nicola. Hey, so what do you guys think? Let me know your questions, your feedback, your comments. Let me know, you know, where do you see this going? I really enjoyed this talk with Nicola Durier. Amazing talk. I hope you will share this podcast or YouTube version, whatever, with your friends, neighbors, colleagues, cooperation partners, merchants, for example, most of all. And yeah, I see the transition to a monetary, you know, evolution by merchants adopting Bitcoin and the whole, you know, infrastructure, by educating themselves, getting more efficient, focused help, guidance, support, whether it be, you know, users themselves who know a little bit more than the merchant. And it's really important that we, you know, go on this progression level from a user, from whatever, buying a little bit of Bitcoin, getting a hardware wallet, setting up a full node, connecting your different wallets, whether it be hardware wallets, Lightning, to your own node, whether it be Samurai mobile wallet with your integrated Whirlpool, which is, you know, really user-friendly now, you know? So yeah, this is the path to go. Make sure you follow Nicola Durier on Twitter and BTC Pay Server. I'm going to put those in the show notes. And yeah, give it a like, retweet, share, please. And follow me everywhere on all platforms. Subscribe on my YouTube channel, please. It would help me enormously. And hope to, you know, interact soon with you, very soon. And let me know your questions. My email address is hello@thetotalconnector.com. My email address and my website is thetotalconnector.com. Or if you want to listen to the podcast directly on my website, it's kevandavani.com/podcast. Otherwise, you can find me on every social media platform, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, Telegram, what have you. So thanks so much and have a great day. Bye.